You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Sons of Anarchy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sons of Anarchy After Show.
Bing is for doing... And we are here doing the Sons of Anarchy After Show. Season 5, Episode 5, Orca Shrugged. I'm Kevin Undergaro. I'm here with my old lady.
What's up, guys? Chrisley Kennedy.
And Chrisley, a funny episode tonight.
It was. There was so much happening, but still hysterical.
And I feel and you're right, so much happening because we had the humor.
Yeah,
we have things finally just a little bit of pressure taken off these guys, and I mean I feel like the pressure's been every episode for the past 2.5 seasons
so intense.
Has been the pistol to the back of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice that we just backed off just a little bit, but we still obviously did have some issues we had to deal with, and I also saw just the overall theme of healing.
Yes,
just a lot of healing going on with the relationships, which we'll talk about, but. Again, the thing that pops in my brain is the humor of it all, and we'll get into that. How funny!
The opening monologue by Jax was.
Oh, that's
brilliant.
Right. And again, so I'm leaving that out. So that's why this episode was very rich.
Yeah.
Lighter in tone, but you're right. You had the humor, you had the healing, and you have this opening. Speech that he gives.
Yeah.
And tell us about it, because I know you had a lot of thoughts.
I loved it because I there was a lot of truth to it. The part where he said it's hard not to hate people that break your spirit just to watch you bleed. Hate's the only thing that makes sense right now. I think every single one of us can relate to that when something's completely taken away. And then about the fact that you're always going to get a box and it's the way that you perceive it, whether it's a gift or a coffin. And I feel like they're setting the tone for the rest of the season with that statement is Opie's death is that box. And how are you going to receive it now? How is it going to play into your life? And I got the goosebumps just re-saying it because it's such a powerful thing to say. And for him to be able to look at it that way at this point in his life and with the motorcycle club is pretty big.
Right. And I think, for me, my memories of was the coffin.
Yeah.
Of Opie. And then, of course, we see it in the highlight reel taking us into the episode. But I've heard that before, too, forget about the past. And don't stress about the future. Think more about the present. And the present is a gift that we get to open every day.
Right.
And so he played around with it a little more. And I think you're right. This is a bigger statement about the series. The rest of the series, is it now going to be a gift? Or is this box going to be a gift or a coffin?
Right.
It's interesting how it could go. And I sometimes think it ends with Tara and... Jax running the club and with a more legitimate business model. And then sometimes I think it ends in tragedy.
All falls apart,
I go back and forth. I don't know. And so hopefully we won't have to see that in for a while because we obviously love this so much. Speaking of the relationships, let's talk about Gemma and Nero. You had something great you said. You've always had Gemma down. But you said something interesting when she was having her exchange with Nero.
That she's so honest with him?
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, she's so honest with him.
So honest. And you haven't seen that. She's never fully honest with anyone. And, she goes there because she's pissed off. Like, he hasn't called her back. She doesn't know why. She's a scorned old lady. She's like, why aren't you calling me back? This is bullshit. And he is kind of blowing her off. And what's interesting is not only is she so honest with him about the... Tara, Carla, entire situation, but also the fact that you can see the passion between them even in their conversation. And it's interesting, you never saw that with her and Clay. There was always a fight, but with her and Nero, there's this passion, this realness that you don't get from Gemma.
Clay was, you know, the more I think of it, Clay was just a vehicle to get the power, to get the club.
Yeah, it seems that way more and more.
And I think that her greatest love in life is the club. I mean, must be Jackson too. But I wonder, because think about what it meant to get that seat. And I think that Clay was just a tool, you know, to help her control the club, I think. But what do you think? Do you think for her, if she had to pick between Jax and running the Sons of Anarchy, what do you think she would choose?
I think she'd pick running the club.
Wow.
I do. It's like she definitely, there was definitely something with Clay at some point. But the more that time has passed, the more we've seen their relationship develop or fall apart
But I go back to that first season with her and the bird. You know,
I know you always go back to that.
Because they've kind of written the bird down a little bit. You don't see the bird as much anymore, which I'm grateful for. I can deal without that as a tool. But I go back to that, and he said, sometimes I think you care more about that bird than you do me. And just the way she was staring at it, I always believed that.
There's
times where they work together,
right?
And they're great partners in crime.
But there was never an intimacy. There was never a passion. There was never a love between them. And he was definitely the vehicle she needed.
Or, you know, someone once put this to me. I thought it was very poignant. But she loves him as much as she can.
Right.
Well, she loved Clay as much as she could.
And he's changed dramatically in the past three seasons. I mean, he's just gotten so much more ruthless and so much more cruel. And
he was, but he also was, you know, after the rape, he was like, what do you mean? Like, I wouldn't love you. I wouldn't touch you. Get over here. And I thought that was cool. That was.
But then he beat the shit out of her. I mean, he did. He did step up and do the right thing after the rape, absolutely, because she's all he has at the end of the day. He doesn't really have the club anymore.
He's nobody.
All he has is her. And so hitting her and literally, I mean, her face was almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, no, he blew it.
That was the last straw for Gemma.
And I'm glad that she hasn't taken him back for that reason.
Right.
I think it sends out a bad message. Even though, is it real? I don't know. You know, a lot of people go through that. But I like how Gemma, I'd like to think he'd never hit her before. And then he did cross this line. And now he has to pay the price for it.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely slapped her around before, but never like this.
Not like that. That was brutal.
This was brutal.
But in talking about healing, it's a little bit melting of the ice between Gemma and Clay, would you say?
There was. I mean, they had to go, you know, it was in, when the sheriff came and said to them, you know, we have all this stuff in a van. We want to know if it's your stolen goods. We have guys in holding. She wouldn't go to the police station with Clay. But standing there together, you could see that they were at a different point. They weren't hating on each other as much. They were able to be in the same room and be able to have a conversation. And you can tell he's really trying to get her back. And she's just a little closed off to that feeling. But at least they're being kosher to each other.
And I buy it because it's fresh off her rejection from Nero.
Right.
So interesting how Nero was like, nope, your son said, and that's it. And I'm going to stick to what your son said.
But did you see the passion when he threw her up against the wall?
Of course.
I mean, it was like, I don't know if I want to hurt you or if I want to make out with you.
Right.
Like, that intensity is just crazy to me.
He has to hold his ground.
He does.
So, I get it from the business standpoint. It's a smart thing to do. Very interesting when Gemma talks to Jax and they kind of touch on the fact that she may have been responsible for Jax's dad's death. And even that, she saw this healing. Like, their little exchange, it's like he almost at the end, he relents. He's like, okay, listen, we just need things to, we just have to see if we can trust him. It just seemed like he softened up a little bit.
But But I don't know how honest that softness was. Because I feel like Jax knows that Gemma is volatile and she causes more problems than needs to. And I think that's the only reason why Jax told Nero that he couldn't have a relationship with Gemma. I don't think it has anything to do with Clay. No.
He told it was completely business to say, this is making a mess out of business. And she's I believe crazy. That part. But in his exchange with her today, it felt like he was very distant at first, and then when they kept going through the motions, it seemed like he softened up a little at the end.
Yeah, he definitely softened up. I just don't know how genuine it is. I feel like he tells Gemma what she wants to hear because he knows what her deal is now, where he used to not and he used to fight it, or he used to say how he really felt, and I feel like now he's learning that he needs to tell her what she wants to hear because then it keeps her calm.
Does that mean he loves her? Does he not love her?
Oh, no, I definitely think he loves her. It's his mom. It's like you can't not love your parents no matter how bad they are. It's like you have to love them.
Which is
your parents.
Unfortunate because some deserve not to be loved. Right. Just like some children deserve not to be loved. But you're right. And I also think when he says go in and help Tara, he's kind of saying like, you know, resume your den mother role.
And you've always been her feel useful.
You've always been the house mom here who kind of puts out these fires. Plus, go work with Tara. You guys help her get on back on the same page. Like, and again, it just all goes back to the healing that we're seeing in this particular episode.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you guys have been great going to iTunes for us. Really good, I think, because of Chris Lee, to be honest.
We got 19 comments. I was really excited. We read all of them.
Yeah, they're good. And keep doing them. If you haven't done so, please go to iTunes.com/AfterBuzzTV and find us, Sons of Anarchy. And we, because of you,
we're killing it.
We're like in the top three of our network, but throughout the week, and that's hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, generally, like, the first two nights after we broadcast will be, you know, really one of our stronger shows will be in the top five.
Right.
Or even the top ten. And the fact that the Sun's show has stayed in the top ten or top five?
Top five.
Top five.
Monday, we were number two after Homeland.
Yeah,
I was
it's
blown
crazy.
Away.
So it's, and we thank you guys, and also it just shows, like, how much we all love this show.
Yeah.
How great shows. But please keep commenting and sending your questions. And also, you can send questions to info@AfterBuzzTV. And you know what? A little bit of love over to YouTube, too. If you want to see how pretty Chris Lee is, you can go watch us on YouTube, too. And you can make your comments there. Okay. Thank you, Marissa. Okay. So, getting more into the business end, we have the dealing with the Irish, and of course, we have an interesting table meeting. Which one do you want to talk about first?
I mean, I feel like the table meeting happened first, so we should go over that first.
Okay. So, interesting at the table.
Ugh, I'm so sick of the nomads at the table. Like, they kill me. They always say stupid shit. Like, I want to elbow them. Like,
I feel,
who tells them to talk?
I do feel as though it feels a little forced.
It's so forced. They're so forced. And they're trying to fit in. They're trying to be part of the group. You know, they're talking about the coke muling and the guns and the break-ins. And it's like the nomads that are constantly like, it's the Blacks, it's the Niners. And Jax has to constantly put them in their place. It's like they haven't been a part of this club for 10 years. They're new. Like, they were just brought in because they needed manpower. Like, keep your mouth shut. Like, know your role. Like, I don't understand what the problem is.
And also, I think as fans, we're not invested in them.
No.
So we're like, you know, anytime, even tonight, not to jump around, but with Roosevelt and Rita, when I saw Rita on the screen, I go, oh, God, why are you forcing this on me? I don't care if she's pregnant. Right. I don't care. And they made it, of course. Now they made me care.
Now, right. They gave you more.
They did. So that was great. But with the nomads, yeah, we don't know them. And so when they're speaking, it feels forced. I feel like Chuck Zito doesn't seem very comfortable in the character. And maybe because it's just he doesn't have a lot to work with. I don't know. The other two are fine. They're really good actors. But we don't know them. So it's for me, it's hard. I feel like I'm being forced to be invested in them.
What, you know, it's funny because I'm reading Chuck Zito's book right now, and he was a very big member of a very real motorcycle club, and he is from New York, and that's all I see when he talks. I do see that genuine New York, I don't give a shit attitude, and I feel like because that's just who he is, that's why
it's good.
I don't mind the way that he comes across. I just hate that the nomads are there putting in their two cents.
You know what it is for me with it? You are right. I'm sure you're right. Why it bothers me is because I listen to him. I'm a fan of his show on Howard Stern's network. So
I don't know. You got to read his book.
Well, I know. I'm excited to read it. But a lot of times when you get to know a character in as a TV personality or as a reality star, mm-hmm. you know them every day. So it's really hard then to buy them as a character.
Right.
So if we saw Will Smith every single day on a TV show where he was being himself or he's hosting a radio show, or it would be hard to buy him. It's tough. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, I think because I'm reading the book right now, too, it's easier for me to see him in that role because that's what he's talking about.
Well,
he's super legit. He's way more legit than anyone else at that table.
Yeah, he's
the real deal.
He is. But talking more about, I guess, what's relevant is the fact that Jax introduces this new deal. We're going to get into escorts.
Right.
And we're going back into the pussy business. And we remember how old man Clay pulled the plug, you know, ancient relic that he is, pulled the plug on it.
Right.
And it's interesting how it easily this just passes.
Well, it pissed me off that Clay totally tried to take control. Like, you're not the president anymore. Sit back and relax. And Jax allowed it.
How did he try?
By saying, why do we have to wait and vote on it? Because Jax was saying, you know, I'm going to use my money. I'm going to front it. Once the business starts, then you guys can figure out if you want to be a part of it, and we'll figure out percentages. And Clay,
but this is how he keeps control. This is how he, in his own way, acts like, I'm not just sitting here. I'm not this old guy at the end of the table with an oxygen tank.
He completely took control.
I'm still steering.
Why wait to vote? We're voting
let's
now.
Do it now. Yep. And then he goes along with it. No pushback. But that's probably an act of manipulation as well, right?
Of course. And the fact that the first thing that
I'm not going to cause any waves. You're the boss. I'm behind you.
And the first thing that he brings up to Jax is the Gemma situation. And, like, why are you going into business with him? You know, it's screwed up that he's sleeping with my old lady, you know? And Jax said, immediately made Clay feel better and said, you know, no, Gemma was part of the deal. Like, it's not going to happen anymore. You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Because I hate that Clay still has this much control over Jax, and I hope that we see that change a little bit in the future. I like that Jax is doing more without Clay, but Clay still
has a lot of control.
I don't think
he has so much control over Jax. He just has control over the situation because this guy has been in charge. He's a legacy. Yeah. He's been in charge forever. So anything he says, there's no way people are not going to listen. Plus, the whole deal with the Irish hinges on him.
Huge.
And you see the respect that the Irish have for him. So I get it. I get why it's going down the way it is. And and Jax is playing it smart. But it was even a little bit of softness with Jax and him, where Jax said, don't worry, like, it's not, that's part of the deal.
It's the first calm, collective conversation they've had in a while where they both were kind of feeling for each other at that moment.
Yeah, and I also think it's legit of Clay to say, do we know him?
Right.
To be this deep. What I never bought seasons ago was why Clay didn't buy the pussy business. I don't know if that was the best writing, because I don't know if I bought that he would not be into that. And I know I don't mean to go backwards in the series, but did you buy that when he pulled the plug on it?
I think that it was the money issues. They found other things that could make them more money, so why put money into that anymore?
Okay.
Seems to be the underlying.
It felt like to me it was almost like owning a bar, you know, like those guys.
Why would you get rid of it?
Right. Like, it's fun that the guys like it. So anyway, but I know writing wise it created a lot of conflict.
Right.
But I don't know if I ever bought that. I don't know if I ever bought that. But anyway, you know, the past is past. And Clay's going along with it now. And we see that Jax is taking us in the direction of legitimate business model.
Thank God.
Thank God, yeah. But it's so early in this series. You know, they've talked about two more seasons, maybe three, right?
Right, seven seasons, they said.
So if you're talking about two more full seasons after this one, it scares me because then it ends in shambles.
Well, you know what I mean? There's still a lot.
Well, you know, if they're getting into legit stuff now, then where do you end it? You have to end it in a bloodbath. So anyway, it's a wait and see. But okay, so we're bummed of Nomads at the table, but we do see some interaction between Clay and Jax. But we see that Clay is definitely still making his presence felt at the table. And mm-hmm. do you notice how defensive Tig is? You know, he's very aggressive now at the table. Like, it's all about defending Jax.
Right. He knows his life is only there because of Jax at this point.
Yeah, Jax has a friend for life now.
And Tig's loyal.
Totally loyal. That's what we love about him. Okay, so then we go out to the Irish.
Ugh.
And it was interesting that off comes the
oxygen
tank.
Can't show you're weak.
Mm-mm. And out he goes, and it looked like he held his own.
He did.
You know, it looked like he was able to hold his own, which was nice. I know you don't like that, but I do, because I think it makes a better series with him being strong.
Hate it.
And tension between Jax and the leader, and
Well, Galen's not happy that there was a vote and that there was a change in president.
Right.
And very clearly says to Clay, seniority is earned. It's not sewn on like a cheap thread,
Great line, right?
It's great. Like, their writing is brilliant. And Jax is pissed off because he wants to show that he can hold his own. And Galen returns and tells him that he's arrogant, selfish, and explosive, which blew my mind that those were the three adjectives that Galen chose to use on Jax, when those are the exact three words that I would use when talking about Clay.
Okay, so you're saying, but here's what I want a clarification. Is that bad writing, or are you just mad at the character?
Oh, no, I don't think it's bad writing at all.
Do you get where the character has that perception?
I think that
of Jax.
He's going based on what happened in Ireland with the priest Kellen dying, it happens. You know what I mean? Like, it's, what are you going to do?
So, like, we chose.
Right, but those three words, it's crazy that Galen sees Jax as that and not as Clay, because he sees Clay as this great guy. Not great guy. I mean, obviously they do dirty deals.
But he's solid.
But yeah.
He's old school. I can trust him. This kid, I'm going to work with some little punk.
Right.
Like, I get it.
And Clay's the most crooked one of them all. So I think that was brilliant writing in the way that those words were actually what everybody sees Clay as, not Jax.
You know, back up just a little bit. I remembered opening the tonight's episode with Clay packing the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, again, are we seeing signs that he's poising for a comeback?
I think he is. I think that the weakness is all a ploy to get everyone to think that he's weak so that he can screw everyone in the end.
He can mount the comeback.
Mm-hmm.
We all love a good comeback. I know you don't, but
I don't. Not from him.
Okay. So the weird thing is when the CIA comes in and
Galen and Jax are boxing
and fighting, and I like what
Romeo?
Clay says. No, when Clay says, listen, they're going to hug it out and have a couple of Guinnesses afterwards. You know, like they got to get this out of their system, and they do. And then the weird part was when they wanted to show off the merchandise, which was to shoot the machine gun. So Galen shoots the machine guns. This is what you're getting. Buddy shoots their bikes.
Well, they talked about the deal. And Romeo and Galen, everyone agrees to the coke muling and the guns and all of that. And then Galen asked Romeo, do you want to try the merchandise out? And he was like, no, we're totally fine.
A justice guy.
And the fact that he, I can't believe that he walked out of that barn after he shot those bikes.
Right. And again, what I had come to understand, and when I was around bikers,
you don't touch their bikes.
You couldn't walk.
No.
Even within 2 feet of them. I mean, you know, if you go to the old Hell's Angels, the movie, not the Hell's Angels movie, but, where was the incident? Not Monterey, that took place after. God, I'm having a brain freeze right now. It took place after Woodstock. out here, and they had like they tried to have another Woodstock out here on the West Coast, and the Rolling Stones performed, and they hired the Hell's Angels to protect them. And some of the hippies just messed with their bikes, and that's when people got stabbed and killed. And, yeah. and when you see in the interview, they're like, "Hey, man, someone touches your bike, you have your whole life invested in that." So. And I always remember that. And then later on, when I met guys in clubs, it was like, well,
you didn't even
breathe on it. So to see them getting blown away.
And Jax just laughed it off and was like, way to seal the deal. Like, he just completely laughed it off. I'll send you the bill.
I'll send you the bill. So what does that mean to you?
I don't know. It was so unrealistic to me. Like, there's not many things that are super unrealistic within the series when it comes to the motorcycle club. But that, to me, that would never happen. Like, they wouldn't walk out.
Well, we see a lot of stretches as far as, like, everyone just seems to be getting killed.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to be getting away with everything, which is fine. But I can suspend my belief, but that one kind of was like, because from what I knew, it was like, your bike is your bike.
Yeah. You don't just get a new bike. Like, you ride your bike forever.
But what,
like,
okay, but there had to be a meaning. What was the meaning of that? It was just to end that on a light moment? Was it the Irish pissing on them to show who's boss? Like, what was the symbolism behind that?
The only thing I can think of is it was the Irish's way of showing Romeo that they were in it and didn't care and could get things done. It's the only thing I can think of, because I know that there was a lot of back and forth where Romeo didn't think the Irish were going to be able to come through on their end. And obviously, you know, Clay not knowing that they're CIA, that's all that they need now is the Irish to seal this deal, and then the sons are kind of safe, you know? So that was important. But that's the only thing I can think of is that the Irish was just being like, mine's bigger than yours. Like, I don't even understand. And hopefully they show us something in the next episode or the week later, because I don't understand why they would blow up
what
the
that means.
Bikes.
Okay. Hey, Marissa.
Yes, Kevin?
Hi, Marissa. Tell us what's going on here at AfterBuzz. What's the state of the state?
Well, we have our fall TV schedule lineup now, and we are in full swing. We're doing about 50 shows a week now, so if there's a show out there, there's a good chance we're covering it. And if there's not a show we're doing, just let us know and we'll try to start it.
That means Marissa works a lot.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
That means she's
that's
here
how
a
we
lot.
Do it here. But
now this is not a prospect. No, she's at the table, right? She's part of the gang.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, she's Sam Crow.
She's okay. Patched in.
Yeah, you're totally patched in.
There is no prospecting in the booth.
Okay, so back to Sons of Anarchy, the deal with the mayor. By the way, like, we haven't talked about the mayor's different haircuts as this has transpired.
He's so
kind of creepy and
he's
weird, right?
He's that sleazy guy.
He really is. But you notice, though, how he's, you know, now the goatee and no more the hair over the ears. Mm-hmm. It's trimmed back, a nicer suit.
Yes.
So is this, do you think that was all Kurt Sutter's direction to say, you're going to clean up your act, mayor, and you're going to, you know, the dark, the black. So he's going to be more, he's stepping his game up and then also more in line with Sam Crow and is now going to be more of an ally.
I do. I think the disheveled mess of him was definitely the Oswald stages and going through all of that, which was brutal for all of us. And I think that he is now trying to do the better business things, and he's trying to be as clean as he can, which we saw a little bit of his struggle tonight. And I think that that is all very made. It's a decision that's made.
It's conscious.
Yeah.
And I know Gemma and Clay were down on Crescent Heights. They were like, no, it's going to ruin Charming.
Oh, Charming Heights. Yeah.
Charming Heights.
I was like, Crescent Heights. They were near my house?
That's down the street.
Come on.
So Charming Heights. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So Charming Heights. Are you okay with the fact that now suddenly the Suns are okay with Charming Heights? Because last I remember, they weren't okay with it. But then again, maybe it was just Gemma and Clay.
It was, well, they weren't okay with it because of, and I'm not going to remember his name right now, and it's the fans are going to get mad at me. But they had the business decision with the guy who owned the barn where they went today. Mm-hmm. And he went into business with the mayor, and because of that business decision was why they didn't like Charming Heights, if I remember correctly. So it had a direct effect to one of their business relationships. Now that they kind of have that under control, I feel like Charming Heights wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It's not the best thing in the world, but it really doesn't affect them unless it affects their business. And this is directly affecting their business now, because now they need the mayor. Now they need something from him. So now they need to help him do something that he wants to do to show that good faith measure so that they can have this business relationship.
And they humanized the mayor a little bit because he said, he was like, it's my dream, it's my passion. It went from being like, you know, him being this evil warlord that wanted to take all this land and oppress the people, to now this has been my life's passion, my dream.
Right.
So it humanized him. So it makes it so it's okay. It's almost like, as viewers, we're okay with him getting Charming Heights. And of course, he's not up for the whole renting out the ex-club for the escorts. So
Well, he's the mayor. It doesn't really look good.
I get it.
No business with escorts.
I get it. It was the turn after that just ended up being so funny and so amazing.
Oh, Chucky.
With Chucky, who we love. Like, if
love
we
Chucky.
All could have Chucky working for us.
Uh-huh.
And we see him dropping off fudge to this fat man. And sure enough, it's drugs are Orca. And next thing we know,
as soon as he dropped off the fudge and walked outside and gave the thumbs up, I was like, something's in the fudge. No.
Yeah, you knew. But you know, when you said that, I'm like, maybe it's a bug or something. I wasn't even thinking. I thought they were going to listen in on him for his information.
I thought somebody was dying. I thought they were going to kill somebody with fudge. I didn't think that they were going to do what they did.
It was a great left turn, and I just feel like we needed it. We needed some laughs. We needed some ease. And to see this big, giant, fat actor with the ball gag.
Brilliant.
And in comes the
Venus
Van Damme.
Yes.
Which it was just great. And you kept remarking on how great his breasts look.
He had the best boobs I've ever seen for a man.
They look totally real.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts. And so, of course, the photo shoot goes down, and Tig falls for
Tig is
him
obsessed
with Venus, which is
staring
hilarious.
He can't get past the manliness.
Do we see Venus again or no? One and done?
I don't believe we do.
Okay. So then Junior comes in, the stepson, and is like, I hate him too. But we see he's a little bit of a problem. And Venus steps to the plate takes him back.
Takes one for the team.
Another $2,000.
Yep.
And
the nephew, by the way, was also in True Blood.
Yeah.
He was one of the.
He's True Blood, and Venus was Shield, right?
Yeah, Venus is from the Shield.
Yeah, you knew they were gonna. It was a stunt that they were gonna have fun with. But by the way, do we see him again? Do we see the nephew again?
That I don't know. I didn't check up on my IMDb, but he wants to hang out with the boys. He wants to come to the club.
He was like, "Yeah, that's fine. I like you guys." And like, "Yeah, maybe we can hang out."
Yeah, that whole scene was just like you couldn't stop laughing. Like all the guys were obsessed with Venus. They were all obsessed with the pictures. Theo's his real name, taking the pictures and talking about the tape and can you Photoshop it? And you know that this is like the best blackmail they could possibly have on this poor guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like big guy, all by himself in an insurance company. It was brutal, but it was fun to watch.
It was fun, and it was a great turn, and I think all the actors did well doing it, and hopefully they had fun shooting that scene, because it looked like they were, and it was just nice to see everyone, like, just
having fun.
Have fun.
They were laughing.
We haven't
seen that in so long.
Having had fun in a long, long time.
The actor that played Venus, Walton Goggins from The Shield, did an interview with Entertainment News and said that they had so much fun in the scene. It was one day of shooting and that everyone loved it, and everyone, guys and girls, were so attracted to the character of Venus that they just, like, it was hard to keep a straight face throughout the day.
And it was great too when they were like, they went around the room like, no, it's okay, to be attracted to a guy. Yeah,
yeah,
we have.
We've all had penis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, all of it. And they're all like shrugging. Yeah. 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 And the kid's like, really?
Yeah. It was like the cool thing to do.
Oh, my God. I was laughing, but I was frightened.
They've all been in jail.
Right. That's right. You hear that a lot.
It happens.
It's a whole different deal.
Don't drop the soap.
And they're like, hey, that's different, though. Their big thing is that's different. That's different. So fun stuff, and we see the mayor again, and with the healing, all the healing we see, right. The mayor is like, accepts the deal. Here's the three months.
First, he fights it still. He's like, he looks at
when they drop over the pictures,
and he's like, I'm not in the business of blackmail.
And you know what? It's important you bring that up because I wrote down the quote, I'm just getting started with Jax, and you see such a fierceness in him as he says that line. And to me, it's like, oh, my God, he is just getting started as the true leader of this group and kicking ass.
And he says, I'm not Clay and I'm not Oswald.
Right.
Which he's not going to do it that way.
Right.
And it's awesome that he has that backbone and he stands strong and he says, you may not be about blackmail. I am. This is what I need from you. And this is how it's
going to
work.
And we can be successful together.
Right.
Like if we can work together and make each other a lot of money. But when he said, I'm just getting started, I'm like, wow, I think this kid's going to kick some major ass.
God, yeah.
And because the Suns have been so weak.
Yeah, and they need good business decisions right now.
Yeah.
Because
the business
has been horrible and everyone's been dying and he needs to start making the club some money and saving some lives.
Right.
Like, no one else needs to die for a couple episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to, right, because we have buried a lot of brothers, as they talked about earlier.
We have. It's been a rough year for them. And, you know, with the Nomads being there and at the table and God, so annoying, you need some good business decisions. And the Cara business was great. So if the mayor now signing off on them using the lodge and now he's going to get a percentage, it kind of helps everyone.
Helps everybody. And I think when he gives him his moment, like, I'll take care of the vote for you and you can lease the place. We're going to see him now working with them as opposed to against them.
Absolutely.
So that'll be interesting to see.
I'd like to see that happen more within the series, too. I feel like the sheriff's station used to work well with the club when Unser was
there. Always,
yeah. And I'd like to see that start happening again as well, because then it's...
I think we're going there.
I think so, too.
I think we're going there. We'll talk about the break-in. But before we do, let's talk about Tara and with her doctor's visits or her... Hand is healing. Oh, we're going to put on a soft cast.
Right.
Another 6 months.
There's a possibility that she may be able to operate again, which she didn't think was a possibility at all, which is, I think, why she ended up losing it on Carla last week. I don't think she would have had she known that she would be able to still operate. And the fact that she now may still be able to was a pretty big deal. You could see the shock in her face. She was really excited.
She's like, wow, yeah.
But at the end of the whole blackmail... The orca, Alan is his name, bites Tig. Like, he gets woken up suddenly and all of a sudden face plants into Tig.
Oh, my God.
Like, it does always happen to him when he turns and says that. Like, why does it always happen to me?
Yeah.
It was brilliant because it does always happen
to him. And by the way, human bite, awful.
I mean, I've never been bit by a human like that.
But in terms of hygiene, it's like the worst.
Really?
Yeah, they say like a dog's mouth is cleaner. Than humans. That's what they say. So
that was a brutal bite. Like, that was like skin out brutal bite.
It was. And again, it just speaks to the comedy of this episode, too. So we had the drama. We see Tara operating. And in this operation, we're having a lot of laughs. They're all like, I wrote down, not really a sterile environment. They're all like smoking butts.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's smoking a joint.
Which is so cool.
And then Chibs has to do it because Tara's shaking. And the whole time... Tig's like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm hard. Is that a good sign?
Yeah,
and
hilarious.
Like, come on.
So funny.
The writing is brilliant.
Yeah,
tonight.
So funny. But we see in that moment, Gemma resumes her role kind of as house mom, where she's helping Tig through it. And we see them help with the operation, which, you know, on goes the glasses. And so everyone's working together, soap his ass. And we get to see her be at least a little bit of a doctor again.
Right.
So, you know, along with the healing of her hand, again, we're seeing all the healing going on and in a very funny way.
And for the first time, Tara's not like saving someone's life. It's something small. It's something kind of funny. It's not as heavy, which I'm sure has to be a bit refreshing to her as well.
And we see Tara and Gemma.
Yeah, you know, have a heart to heart, and
they have that heart to heart. You know, she when Gemma touches Tara, I cringe because I'm like, oh my god, her touch is kind of gross.
Yeah,
because she's such a manipulator,
and she's so condescending in the way that she talks to her sometimes. And but at the same token, she's right. She said
extremes
that
extremes become averages.
Yeah, that I wrote that down too. Extremes become averages in this lifestyle, and Tara's gonna have to get used to that because it's true.
Yeah, and she was like, and this, I'm not even saying that to like, well, look on the bright side. It's the way it is.
It's the way it is, and their heart to heart was.
I actually feel like that in Hollywood.
Yeah,
I do. I feel like that's just the way it is. I feel like the mob life. I always say that it goes back to that Tony Soprano line. It was also in Road to Perdition. This is the life we chose.
Yeah,
and so in the biker world, it's
same thing.
In Hollywood too, it's like, hey, you know, we're working 7 days a week. I'm like, this is the life we chose.
This is what we choose to
do. This is this it. You know.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, and they have a moment. Then again, there's clearly some kind of an exchange because Tara lets her. Put one of the babies to bed.
Right. Well, she said she tells Gemma that she doesn't tell Jax about Carla, which I thought was interesting. So now she's starting to hide things from Jax, very similar to how Gemma hides things. And the back and forth with Gemma and Tara still blows my mind because Gemma comes back to the house, Tara's sitting there smoking the joint and gives the baby bottle.
And opening with Gemma smoking a joint. Yeah, we see the parallels. Crazy.
Opening with Gemma smoking a joint with a girl in bed, by the way. There was not a guy laying in bed naked. There's a girl laying in bed naked and right. Gemma smoking a joint. And I was like, Gemma's switching teams on us now.
Yeah. Well, she's living, you know what I mean? Just, she's not, she doesn't have a house anymore. And she's, right? She's living with.
She's falling off the wagon.
Yeah. I mean, was she having sex with the girl?
Well,
or?
I remember, if we go back to, I think it was episode one, where she wakes up with Nero and the girls, and the next day she's like, why are there girls in the bed? What, did we have a threesome? And he was like, no, that was all you. He's like, that was all you. You were going to town. And now she, this episode opens with her.
So do you think when her and Clay, after the beating, they may never get back together. They may be friends, but they're never going to get together in that way. And we know there has to be distance with Nero. Does she do the lesbian turn at some point?
I mean,
like a lot of girls do when they've had enough of guys.
She's checking it out for sure. I mean, the night with Nero obviously was a lot of alcohol involved. But I mean, this episode literally opened with a naked girl in bed and Gemma wrapped in a blanket smoking a joint. I don't know.
We'll see what ends up happening. But it was interesting that she.
Of course, my eye caught that.
Nice job.
I was like, Wait a minute.
Well done. Well, we see Tara allows her to
put
the baby to bed. And in comes Jax, and, you know, he puts the blanket over the mother, and it kind of just seals the deal of the whole episode.
Right.
So we have, and the opening up the ice chest at the end with the, oh, it just must be parts. Well, of course it's parts, but.
Body parts.
Body parts. the breast and the finger.
I always get boobs delivered to me in a fridge.
In a nice ice.
Cooler. You know.
And totally normal. So that'll get delivered, and that gets Nero's people off his back, hopefully.
For Emma Jean.
Yeah. And I guess the last thing to deal with is the one thing that's been this in the background for the first five episodes is the break-in. And now we know why we saw her pregnant, and now we know why we saw her with Roosevelt, Rita, I mean. Because now she's going to be a victim.
For a cop's wife, you think she'd be a better shot.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. Well, no, like my sister-in-law couldn't shoot a gun, so.
Really?
Oh, yeah, no. No, my
brother. I feel like that'd be the first thing I'd want to learn.
Yeah, but you're an old lady. It's different.
I know.
but anyway, so she gets shot in the stomach.
Yeah.
You know the baby's not, I don't think baby's surviving that.
Right.
And this is going to.
And there's three of them.
Three of them. Now, they got shot, though, too, right?
I don't know if there was a shot, but there was definitely a scratch on the neck.
That's it.
That's why
the fingernails.
He says he wants the...
What's under her fingernails?
Under her fingernails.
Skin.
We also hear them use the name Frankie, right. Which we didn't know who it was before. And what blows my mind even more is we see Clay at the police station with the sheriff. And he's just sitting there shooting the shit, talking to the sheriff about all these things that are happening. And no, none of us at that point are thinking,
I don't think Clay's involved.
I do. I do. And I feel like that's why he was staying at the police station, because he wanted to know that the sheriff wasn't there, because he didn't want the sheriff to walk in and it go down the wrong way. So he's at the police station to make sure the sheriff's there, so that he knows that his boys can get in and out of that house, because they still want to blame it on the Niners. And they just got released. These, or maybe it wasn't the Niners that were just released, but they just released these guys out of the police station. Perfect.
You're a great old lady. You're so much like Gemma. You figured it all out. You're right.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
No, that makes perfect sense. Nice. Thank you, Marissa. And so we know now, I feel like Roosevelt, much like the mayor, is going to swing to our side.
Well, we see he's him in work the clips, with the Suns. And he's not in his
not
uniform.
In uniform. No, no.
And he's like, I'm not letting this go. It's tied to you
time
guys.
Time to take out the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's on. But before we get into predictions, you said you had some good news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I do have some news and gossip. There's been a lot going on in Sons of Anarchy lately. Mr. Sutter got in a little fight with Tig this week on set. Nothing too bad, and not as bad as the blowout 2 seasons ago with Charlie Hunnam, but still enough that it's been being talked about by Nikki Fink and many other news outlets. There was a big article on Ron Perlman.
But we don't know what it was about.
Didn't say what it was about. It's just, you know, what Kurt Sutter did mention is that their set is constantly heated, and the things that they're covering and doing, there's a constant tension within them, and sometimes gaskets blow, was kind of the way they worded it. So it seems like a bunch of guys just kind of being pissed off and taking it out on each
other. You know what's hard about those shows, a show like that too, is you have so many characters. So with, like we talked about, with these nomads, you know, how can we develop them enough to buy into them or invest in them when they have to spread the wealth to all the other great characters?
Right.
And then it happens on these multi-character shows. It's hard. And I think that's when actors get most heated. When it's like,
absolutely.
When it's like, well, wait, that's all I have is 3 lines tonight. That's all I do. You know, all I get to do is blank.
And Charlie Hunnam actually did an article with Playboy.com, and they're talking about a new movie that he has coming out called 3-2-1 Frankie Go Boom, which Ron Perlman is also in with him, where he plays a crossdresser. They also ask Hunnam about the fight with Kurt Sutter, and Hunnam says that he has a great relationship with Kurt and interacts with him daily, but in terms of making the show, Kurt's not really that involved with Charlie's part of it. He writes the episode, he edits, but he only directs the finale. It's interesting to see them kind of go back and forth, and to see that Charlie's working on new things. He also talks about Weekend Warriors who haven't, how does he put it? I've got Weekend Warriors who aren't really living the life. They've got a Harley and ride bikes once or twice a month. I ride my motorcycle every single day exclusively.
That's Charlie?
Just things that he had to research and learn through the part, the difference, and the stuff that he gets criticized the most about. So
Wait. So he does ride his bike every day. He didn't just do it as research.
Right. Out of the research, I learned so much. But the stuff I get right on the TV show is the stuff I get criticized for the most, that he's a weekend warrior. But he has a bike he rides every day. He wants people to know that. They bust his chops about the tennis shoes that he wears, that bikers don't wear tennis shoes. It's amazing the things that fans will find to pick out on him. But he's telling a story where monsters are living he has another movie coming up, Pacific Rim, next year, which is a story about monsters living among the world. So he's very busy outside of Sons of Anarchy. And then this one I know you're going to appreciate the most, because when I read it, I thought of you instantly, because this is something you would have told me. Ron Perlman talks to LA Times, and they're talking about a lot of different things within the series and the things that he's done. He talks about his first lunch meeting with Kurt Sutter, where when Kurt was proposing the idea of Sons, he talked about it being a superstructure of a modern-day mirror to the world of Hamlet. And I thought you'd appreciate that a lot, because you're into all that.
Yeah.
You figure that stuff out. And he talked about how we have the Horatio, the Claudius, and definitely your Gertrude. And it was also seductive that that's what kind of pulled him in. He talks about the fact that he's never played a part that was so real to him. In fact, that everything he's always played has a lot of hair and makeup, and it never looks like
Beauty and the Beast,
him.
All the shows, yeah.
And this one, he's so true to himself, but also it is the furthest he's ever been from playing someone like him. And then my favorite part of it was, I feel like sometimes this series gets a lot of heat on being dark and gruesome and kind of making things that are really bad look really great. And he says, Perlman says that it reminds him of the era of Bogart and Cagney, where the gangster films at their best captured something incredibly romantic about gangsters and the way they move through our universe. And I thought that it was a really interesting way of looking at
Great way to put it.
And that people, the requirement of the show is seeing these people stick to a code of behavior. And that is the show and what it's based on, is their code of behavior. And obviously it's not to be lived on. And we don't have to sit there and discuss why it's going to ruin the world. We take it for what it is, and it's a great show. He said that his favorite thing about being on the show is not just when guys are coming back from Wall Street dinners and saying that they know him, but it means more to him when he goes out of town for a project and he gets messages from the local MC and they want to sit down and get to know him and have a powwow. That's the review that means the most to them as a show, because the MC world has completely embraced them.
That's
and
really
they get
great.
A lot of love. And that's not an easy crowd.
No, that's not easy.
Not easy at all.
And so Hollywood actor,
right.
You know, come and show that off. I think I loved him in Drive. Did you?
Yes, he was great.
I love him as an actor. That's why I root for Clay on this show, because I'm always afraid they're going to kill him and just move on with Charlie and the young guy and find new villains, you know, because I think they could easily do that. I do. I really do, because I think Charlie's that good. And it seems like every season they're good at introducing new villains. But
yeah.
I like Ron as an actor so much that I like that we're going to hopefully keep him around to the end.
Absolutely. And just for all of our Sons of Anarchy fans, I'm working tirelessly to get us some guests. And Filthy Phil is interested in coming in.
Love me some Filthy Phil.
Chris Reed is his real name.
He
and
is
I'm super
perfect.
Excited. He's great.
I mean, he's cast
great.
So well as the prospect who I just buy him. I buy that.
Yeah.
You know, I buy that it looks like the big kind of former nerd who's had enough, who, you know, dedicates himself and then kind of turns into a badass. I mean,
yeah.
We haven't seen him become a badass yet, but I
can't
I buy
wait to
it.
Have him come in.
I've
too.
Seen so many guys like that.
He'll be great.
So it's
and I think they're
I
wrapping
it.
Up the filming this week, because I believe that the finale is being filmed in the next couple days.
Wow.
So they should be wrapping up now.
My God.
I want to go on set so bad.
I know, but I don't want to see anything.
I know, but I want to go
I look
go
too
so
forward
bad.
For what I see this week.
Right.
You know what? Where do they shoot? Where do they shoot?
They were in the desert yesterday talking about Jane's addiction.
So wait. I could probably get you over there. When do they finish shooting?
I think the end of the week.
Okay.
I know.
After this, we make a call.
Let's make some calls.
Okay. All right. So that's, I guess, our news and gossip for season mm-hmm. 5, episode 5. Orca Shrugger.
Oh,
what?
Shoot. No.
What?
I'm sorry, oh. Marissa. I'm screwing
now,
with you.
You're after Buzz TV.
I know. I'm sorry.
Go.
Sons of Anarchy has beat out everyone in their time slot for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, they're beating.
2 weeks in a row on a Tuesday night at 10 o'clock, which people are fighting to get ratings. This show is fine. I just had to touch on that. This
no,
show
it's
is
great.
Finally getting the press and the audience they deserve. And I'm really excited about it.
And I think with DVDs and stuff like that and streaming, it's really helped shows build.
Yeah.
And get stronger. Where years ago, you know, the traditional model was shows would maybe first, second season get strong. Third season, you were done, and then you'd try to hold on to that, and then you'd start kind of crumbling your last few seasons, and you're out. And now, it's just this building. It's incredible.
Huge.
It's really cool. All right, so now
Sorry.
We can do...
Now we're ready.
There we go.
Love you, Marissa.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I wonder if the sheriff's wife makes it. I don't know that she lives through getting shot in the stomach.
Yeah, so it's like it is the typical, like, she killed the wife and baby.
Yeah, I don't know that she lives through the surgery.
Yeah, and for good measure, don't shoot her in the head, shoot her in the stomach so we can have the baby die.
Right, and I don't know that it wasn't her gun that she got shot with. You know what I mean? I don't know if they weren't fighting with her and just moving it and it wasn't her own gun. I don't know that they actually did it, but I don't know that she lives through the surgery, which is what I think we see the sheriff next week in plain clothes, kind of
badass.
Yeah, he's not a happy camper. So I'm really curious to see where that goes.
And I think, God, if I think I hate that Clay's involved with this because that's.
Yeah, it's brutal.
That's not good for his character.
No. Well, I mean, really?
No, what for his future.
What character does he have left?
I know, but how? Where do you go from that? If he really is behind that, unless he gets away with that, like he gets away with everything
else.
Gets
away with everything. I don't know if anyone would be surprised.
I know. I'm like excited. I think
I can't
next
wait
week,
for next week.
Yeah, I think a lot more action next week.
Is it Tuesday yet?
No. Soon enough. Soon enough. Let's get you on set. That's what we got to work on.
Yeah. You guys, make sure you tweet me too. I've been tweeting with a lot of you guys. It's been awesome. It's at Chrisley. And I retweet all of the Sons of Anarchy stuff that I get and tell us.
At K-R-I-S-S.
Nope, K-R-I-S-I-L-Y.
Oh, that's even easier.
Easy.
Oh, fab. Fab. All right, you guys, we'll see you next week.
Yes, thank you for coming.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.